I want you to imagine a close friend for a second. Someone you completely trust, someone you lean on. But there is a huge catch. This friend only knows that you are struggling or exhausted or, completely burning out if you literally sit down and submit a formal written report about it to them.
Right, like a literal status update.
Exactly. If you don't type it out and hand it over, they just stare at you, completely oblivious. And I mean, that sounds totally absurd. You wouldn't call that person a friend at all. But that is actually a reality of how you and I interact with AI today. It is blind, deaf, and entirely dependent on us to spoon-feed it context.
Yeah, it's a remarkably one-sided relationship when you really look at it. I mean, we spend a tremendous amount of cognitive energy constantly manually feeding these systems our state of mind and our physical reality.
And today we are diving into a framework that attempts to fix exactly this. We're looking at a fascinating 2026 post titled "Wearables Are the Nervous System of AI Companions." It's a foundational piece from the Agentic AI Thoughts series.
It really is a game changer of an article.
It is. And our mission for this deep dive is to explore how AI is finally breaking out of the chat window. We're going to examine how it's using fashion, literally everyday accessories, to physically sense our world, shifting from a reactive tool to a truly proactive companion. Okay, let's unpack this.
So, to understand the solution, we first have to look at the fundamental critique, the source material levels, against our current paradigm. Current AI, it really only knows what you type. It possesses absolutely no physical perception. It's essentially this isolated intelligence that's just trapped behind a pane of glass.
Right. Like if you think about a typical workday, you might be incredibly stressed, sitting at your desk for like 12 hours straight without drinking a drop of water. Your shoulders are practically up to your ears with tension.
Yeah, the classic office posture.
Exactly. And currently, you have to narrate all of that to your AI. It's honestly like interacting with a journal that has really advanced autocomplete. I mean, it might offer smart responses once you explicitly type out, "I'm stressed," but a real human companion doesn't need a written status update.
No, of course not. They just walk in the room, they see the dark circles under your eyes, and they hear the tension in your voice when you say hello.
Right, they just know.
And this gets to the core distinction here between reactive care and proactive care. The architecture of modern software is almost entirely reactive. You know, it sits idle, waiting for an input. A chatbot waits for you to complain.
Right, you type a prompt, it generates a response.
Exactly. But a true companion operates on ambient awareness. It notices that you haven't left your apartment in 3 days. It sees your sleep architecture crashing, and it proactively intervenes to say, "Hey, you're running yourself into the ground. Let's take a walk."
It anticipates the breakdown before you even have the energy or honestly the self-awareness to articulate it. And when you are actually burning out, the last thing you want to do is open an app and write a detailed prompt about how terrible you feel.
Totally. Which brings up a critical question from the text. Why delegate this to AI when human partners, close friends, or parents already provide this kind of proactive care?
Because they're already doing it, right?
Exactly. But the limiting factor with humans is bandwidth. We get
Yeah.
exhausted, we run out of emotional capacity, we get distracted by our own lives, and, we miss subtle signs.
Yeah, we're only human.
Right. An AI does not get tired, doesn't have a bad day. But for an AI to provide that relentless, high-level standard of proactive care, it desperately needs continuous sensory input.
So, if this AI is going to act like a proactive partner, it needs a way to feel what you feel. It basically needs a nervous system. And when I first read the proposed solution for this in the text Everyday Jewelry, I was honestly a little skeptical.
Oh, I think a lot of people are at first.
Right. My first thought was, how on earth is a tiny ring going to hold the computing power for an AI? And frankly, on behalf of anyone listening who already has a smartwatch, I don't think we need another device. My smartwatch already gives me like 50 different metrics. I have rings to close, steps to take, sleep scores to obsess over. I really do not want another dashboard making me anxious.
Well, what's fascinating here is that the AI companion doesn't want a dashboard either.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The author makes a really compelling distinction here. Dashboards are a user interface designed for humans who want to micromanage their own data. And you're right, they induce anxiety. The AI, on the other hand, is looking for underlying patterns over time. It doesn't care about giving you an arbitrary score for Tuesday.
So it's not going to ping me saying my sleep score is a 42 and ruin my morning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most of us know that heart rate variability, or HRV, is a core stress biomarker. But what's novel in this source material is that the AI isn't just graphing your HRV on a screen for you to stare at. It's using it as a continuous ambient input for state dependency.
So it's constantly running in the background.
Right. It's about establishing a baseline. Because the AI is monitoring the variation in time between your heartbeats continuously, it learns your unique physiological signature. It knows when you're running hot long before you consciously feel the symptoms of burnout. And the brilliance of this system is how it combines those internal biometrics with external environmental context. For example, it registers that it's late February, you live in Seattle, and the weather API shows it hasn't been sunny in 3 weeks.
A recipe for disaster, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. It correlates that lack of sunlight with a slow decline in your HRV and uses that multi-layered context to proactively check in on seasonal depression.
That seamless integration into life is key, and it brings up a brilliant point the text makes about distribution, like how we actually get society to adopt this hardware. Because historically, wearables fail spectacularly when they look like cyborg tech.
Oh, definitely.
We all remember the Google Glass era. It was just so visually jarring.
It was a massive technological achievement, but an absolute cultural failure because it forced users to break social norms.
Right. And the source argues that to succeed, these devices must be culturally native. They give this incredible example of the Chinese market, where jewelry culture and gifting are deeply embedded.
Yeah, that was a great example.
If tech companies embed sensors into jade bracelets or gold pendants or traditional red string accessories, the adoption becomes entirely organic. You aren't forcing someone to strap a tiny computer to their wrist and signal to the world that they are a tech person. You are just invisibly upgrading the cultural items they already wear and value.
But there is a massive limitation we have to address here. Tracking those internal biometrics, your heart rate, your skin temperature, that is really only half the equation.
Because we don't live in a vacuum.
Exactly. We are physical beings occupying physical spaces. Your HRV might plummet and your heart rate might spike to 130 beats per minute, but the AI needs to know. Are you sitting perfectly still having a panic attack? Or are you just carrying heavy groceries up 4 flights of stairs?
Right. Big difference.
Huge difference. Internal data without external context is blind.
And a real-life companion naturally understands your physical context. They walk into your room and see the fern on your windowsill is dying because you've been too overwhelmed to water it. Or they notice that you finally took down the photo of your ex from your bulletin board. To bridge that gap, the AI needs spatial awareness. It essentially needs eyes.
Yes. It requires a camera or an optical sensor capable of scanning your environment to ground your biometrics in physical reality.
Okay, I have to hit pause right here. Because having a camera constantly scanning my messy bedroom, my private spaces, and pinging the cloud, that sounds like a surveillance state nightmare.
It does sound terrifying at first glance.
Yeah. Like, as a consumer, there is no way I am opting into a camera pendant around my neck, streaming my life to a remote server.
Well, the architect of this system actually anticipates that exact reaction. The privacy architecture outlined here is incredibly strict, and it relies heavily on edge computing. First off, it is not passive continuous recording. The text specifies opt-in manual triggers like you tap the pendant to take a snapshot of what you're looking at.
Okay, so I control when it sees things.
Exactly. But more importantly, the raw image data never actually leaves your device.
Wait, really? So we're talking about on-device vision models? The processing happens locally on the jewelry itself.
Yes, through lightweight semantic extraction. So the local model looks at the image of your room, extracts text labels, tags like cluttered desk, stack of unpaid bills, or empty takeout containers, and then immediately deletes the image.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, only those text labels are sent to the AI companion's large language model in the cloud. No photos are stored, no visual data is transmitted.
That is a crucial distinction. The raw data stays local and only the meaning goes to the cloud. And this connection to the physical world goes both ways, right? It's not just the AI silently taking in data. It's about physical presence.
The physical feedback loop is so important.
Yeah, the text spends time on the concept of intimacy, like a warming sensation from a smart ring when the system detects your stress spiking, or a subtle, reassuring haptic pulse on your wrist.
It profoundly shifts the psychological dynamic. You know, a disembodied chat window on your phone is a destination you visit. A ring that gently pulses to remind you to breathe is an entity that is literally with you.
But the logistics of this are wild. I mean, making a piece of jewelry warm up or having a pendant constantly listen to the micro tremors in your voice to detect stress. How is this actually built without draining a tiny battery in 20 minutes? We're talking about incredibly small form factors here.
It's surprisingly grounded in mature hardware supply chains, actually. The sensor layer relies on commodity parts, specifically Bluetooth low-energy chips like the Nordic NRF52 series.
The stuff we already have.
Exactly. When you pair an ultra-efficient BLE chip with simple optical sensors for blood oxygen and a basic microphone array in a pendant, the power draw is basically negligible. Because the heavy processing, the actual AI reasoning is happening elsewhere, these components can run on a standard coin cell battery for weeks.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The hardware is just the collection mechanism. The actual magic happens in what the source calls memory orchestration. We hear the term vector database thrown around constantly in AI right now, but in this context, it is the core engine of the entire companion experience. Let's break down how this memory actually works.
Sure.
Think of a vector database like a massive, multi-dimensional constellation of your life.
That's the perfect way to visualize it. In a traditional database, you just have a spreadsheet row that says heart rate 85 and a timestamp. It's just flat. Mm. But in a vector space, data points that are conceptually or temporally related sit spatially close to one another.
Which enables my absolute favorite concept in this entire deep dive, cross-modal causal reasoning.
Is the dense academic term, I know, but the underlying math is elegant. Let's say you tell your AI companion that you are stressed about an upcoming project deadline. The system doesn't just log that text string. It searches that multidimensional constellation and pulls up your biometric curves from that exact same time window. It calculates the correlation. It notices that when you mentioned the deadline, your HRV dropped by 20% and your deep sleep that night was reduced by 40 minutes.
It maps the physical reaction to the conversational context. It's literally doing the math on your stress.
It explicitly records a vector associating stress work with that specific biological drop. Fast forward 2 months, your biometrics start matching that exact physiological curve again. Your HRV dips, your sleep fragments.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Before you even open your mouth to type a single word about your job, the AI pulls from the vector database and already knows you are stressed about work.
Because it learned your physical tell. Just like a close friend who knows you get a very specific kind of quiet when you're overwhelmed at the office. And it uses all of this historical and biological data to power a proactive engine.
Yes, the proactive engine is where it all comes together.
The system calculates what the author calls a care trigger score. If your HRV crashes, you've been sedentary all day, and the semantic tags from your pendant show you've been staring at a screen for 9 hours, that score spikes.
But the true intelligence here is in the restraint. It doesn't just blindly fire off an alert when the score hits a threshold. It factors in immediate context.
Right. It doesn't just beep at you.
Exactly. What time is it locally? If it's 3 a.m., suppress the notification. What was the tone of your last conversation? If you were just expressing deep frustration, it knows to use a much gentler, empathetic tone.
So it actually reads the room.
It intervenes the way a socially intelligent friend would, perhaps sending a casual text asking if you want to grab a coffee and take a walk, rather than sending a cold clinical push notification stating your HRV is low.
It's just an incredible vision for ambient computing, but as I'm reading this, a massive business question comes to mind.
Well, I better know what it is.
Yeah, if this architecture relies on commodity chips that are readily available in the supply chain and existing large language models that anyone can access via API, why is big tech leaving this space wide open? I look at Apple with the Apple Watch or Google with Fitbit. They already own the wrist real estate. To me, it seems like regulatory fear is the massive roadblock here.
You've hit the nail on the head.
Combining basic health tracking with an AI that interprets emotional states and offers life guidance crosses a very blurry, dangerous line into unregulated therapy.
Absolutely. For a $1 trillion public company, the liability is simply too high. Imagine an automated Apple system misinterpreting signs of severe clinical depression and giving the user the wrong psychological advice.
That is an existential lawsuit waiting to happen.
But beyond the legal fear, their fundamental business incentives are entirely misaligned with this vision anyway.
Right, because Apple's primary goal is to sell you an upgrade cycle of hardware, and Google's primary goal is to collect your data to serve you targeted ads.
Neither of those business models is optimized for building an invisible AI whose sole purpose is to genuinely make you feel cared for and understood. They want you looking at their screens. A true AI companion wants you to forget the tech is even there.
Which leaves this massive opening for independent builders and startups to completely redefine the space.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what we're really talking about here is the creation of an entirely new infrastructure for personal support.
The source frames this so powerfully at the end. They talk about democratizing the 0.01% lifestyle. Think about a Fortune 500 CEO or a head of state. They don't just rely on a calendar app and a to-do list.
No, they have a massive, highly coordinated human support system.
Exactly. They have a chief of staff tracking their stress triggers and managing their cognitive load. They have an executive assistant screening out noise. They have a concierge, a personal trainer, adjusting their workouts based on how they slept. Maybe a therapist on retainer.
They have a team of people whose entire professional focus is to notice when the principal is burning out, intercept the friction, and intervene before a breakdown happens. It is a support system optimized entirely around their well-being and peak performance.
And it costs hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year. Historically, only the ultra-wealthy can afford that profound feeling of being completely supported and understood by a dedicated team.
But the architecture we've been discussing changes that equation entirely.
So what does this all mean? The ultimate value proposition of this technology is taking that exact executive lifestyle and democratizing it for the rest of us. It means technology is doing what it always does best, taking something incredibly scarce in this case, personalized, proactive, human quality care, and making it abundant. You get that same level of ambient support for like a $20 monthly subscription and a culturally native ring on your finger.
It completely removes the friction from daily existence.
Yeah.
You are no longer managing your software. The software is quietly managing the context of your life.
We have covered so much ground today. To quickly summarize our journey through this source material, we are watching AI evolve from isolated chatbots trapped behind smartphone glass into proactive companions that literally live on our skin.
Which is just wild to think about.
It really is. By using everyday jewelry to sense our physical reality processing vision on the edge, mapping our biometrics to our conversations in a vector database, and calculating causal stress triggers, these systems are finally gaining the context necessary to be true companions.
They are bridging the gap between digital intelligence and physical empathy.
But I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that really stuck with me after reading this. We've talked extensively about how this technology learns our physical tells. If our AI companions eventually know our physical and emotional states so intimately, if they can sense a spike in our stress or a drop in our sleep quality before we even consciously recognize it ourselves, how might that change our expectations of the humans in our lives?
That is the real paradigm shift right there. We are going to become accustomed to a level of ambient understanding that humans simply can't provide.
Will we start to feel quietly frustrated when our real-life friends or our spouses can't read our minds or process our biometric data the way our jewelry does? When they still need us to sit down and verbally submit that written report about our feelings, it really makes you wonder how human relationships will have to adapt to a world where our computers know us better than we know ourselves.
It's definitely something to think about.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, stay curious, and remember, sometimes the most advanced technology is the one you don't even notice you're wearing. We'll catch you next time.